Hello, Lionhook Nation. This is Ray DeLucci with the Lionhook Thoughts Podcast. Hope everyone is doing well and hope everyone is staying safe during these times. I'm really excited to be talking with you all today. It's going to be a solo episode, and it's going to be about a topic that honestly has probably been a long time coming, but something I wanted to address in regards to people in the food industry. So before we get started, I just want to say thank you to all of the support over the last few days. I recently published an article. I wrote an article for Plate Magazine, and it went over really well in terms of how it was received, and it was something that was truly special. I'm going to get into it later in the episode, but I just wanted to say thank you all. I've been writing for a couple of years now, but I haven't publicly written that long. I've only been writing now publicly for around a year. And the article's name is "Restaurants Must Offer Work-Life Balance If They Want to Keep Employees." That was the name of the article. I'm going to put the link in the show notes or the bio. And like I said, it went really well. And it showed me that there is still so much more to discuss about not only restaurant workers, but food service in general. And I really think that the conversation needs to be had, or at least the conversation for cooks needs to be had, or people in the food service industry. And the reason I wrote this article is not to be anti-restaurant. I love restaurants. I joined the industry because I wanted to own my own restaurant. I support restaurants, and without them, like, life would be super boring. And I would, like, truly, like, they're my passion, going out to eat, writing about or making content around food service workers. Like, that's what I do. But I noticed that during this cook shortage that we're entering, a lot of the coverage on this cook shortage was mainly putting the blame on cooks and mainly putting the blame on food service workers in general. And as we all know, being in the industry, that it's not a one-way, it's not one-sided. It's not just all the cook's fault. You know, it goes deeper than, oh, well, they're just on unemployment. There are actual issues that cooks face. And while, yes, I've seen, obviously, like, there's, like, the biggest issue being that cooks are leaving because of how COVID impact the industry. But I think also it goes much deeper than that, too. And there were a lot of issues before the pandemic that we just never addressed that have come full circle to people deciding that they can't do it anymore. And so that's why I wrote this article. And that's why I, you know, wanted to make this podcast to kind of go over it all, and just, you know, having people message me, sharing their story, sharing how they can't do it anymore. You know, I've been very open and vocal to the point that I left traditional restaurants when COVID hit because I couldn't do it anymore. And I found passions elsewhere within food. I don't work in restaurants anymore, as I've said before. And many people reached out to me after I wrote this article and shared some pretty personal things in terms of their own mental health, burnout, caring for families. The list goes on, truly. But I want to make this episode because I want to bring light to it. And just as someone who creates food service content, I wanted to have something out there that highlights what people in the food service industry are doing and going through. And before we get into that, I do want to say that, like it's not, like I said, I've said this, I've tweeted this, it's not restaurant owner versus restaurant employee. It's a collective of everyone coming together to solve and figure out these issues, because it's not all in restaurant owners either. You know, as workers, we do have to, there is a sense of responsibility for us too, in terms of, like, what we advocate for, what we find interesting, or where we want to work. Like, that, like, there's also responsibility on our end, but there's also issues that are totally out of our control that we need to speak up on. And so that's why I'm making this. But I do want to say that, you know, I was able to manage a restaurant for a year and a half, and it was the most difficult thing I had ever done and probably will ever do. And being an owner, owning your own restaurant, I couldn't imagine. It truly, especially nowadays, is almost terrifying to think how much stress and how much, difficulty you would have in doing so. And I just want to take a moment to first recognize that, and second, recognize that now more than ever with the cook shortage, it's probably the hardest it's ever been to open or run or keep maintaining a restaurant. You know, I see the other side of it. I see employees saying that, you know, they're like they're not like even managers saying that they're not necessarily managers anymore because they're having to go in now 7 days a week to cover up for the cook shortage, and they're working their asses off to get food and out the door and just, you know, keeping customers happy and keeping the business alive. And now more than ever, it's burnout, and there's, you know, just probably so much stress and anxiety on restaurant owners and restaurant operators and people within the restaurants that are still there now. Like, we can't overlook that either. It's not like, oh, well, people are leaving, so we just forget the issue. Like, there's still people in the trenches working right now. And so I don't want to, so this isn't me against restaurants, and this is me not just ignoring that. And I don't think it should be ignored. And I think that that's going to be lost in this time as well, is that the people working in restaurants are working probably harder than ever before. And it is not an easy situation. And so this is not a podcast to just say like it's worker versus owner. This is to just simply say the issues people in my community or people I've seen or the research I've done for people in food service for restaurants have faced. And that's what this is about. And it's in hopes to advocate for a better industry, to keep on top of mind the issues that we all face, that we have faced if you're no longer in restaurants like myself, and to maybe offer up some ideas for a better future. And so that's what this podcast is. That's what the mission of Line Cook Thoughts has always been. But I did want to recognize that so many are struggling right now still in restaurants, and we have to be there for them as well. And we have to keep that front of mind. So thank you all so much for the support on the latest article. I hope you all enjoy this. I would love to hear your thoughts. And once again, we are all in this in some way. Even if you're not in restaurants anymore, you can still have an impact in bettering the industry. And it's not to tear each other down, and it's not to attack each other, but it's to understand that there's flaws in food that we can fix. And for me, putting information out there, sharing what people in food service are thinking and sharing what they're feeling is how I feel I could help at least bring the conversation to the table. So thank you all for listening, and we're going to get right into the episode. This is going to be there's going to be like three parts. It's going to be the first part's going to give you a little background on kind of how I felt when I left restaurants, just to give you like my perspective. The second is going to be issues in the industry still that we face today, talking over low pay, mental health, and just, you know, actual like comments from people leaving comments on my Instagram posts and whatnot. And then finally, just some room for change that I think that cooks have shared with me, or people in the food service industry have shared with me. So like I said, I hope you all enjoy this podcast, and yeah, let's get into it. All right, awesome. So the first part, you know, like I said, I'm just going to go over briefly kind of why I transitioned out of the regular restaurant culture. So allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ray. I'm 23 years old, and I worked in restaurants since I was 15. And I actually, my first restaurant job was actually pulling weeds out of a garden for a restaurant. So maybe a little different than how most people get into the industry, but still something nonetheless. And, you know, I've worked in, I guess I've had a pretty diverse career since starting in restaurants. I worked in fast food, started also as a dishwasher at Wendy's. So that's very humble beginnings. I've worked in fine dining, worked in hotels. I worked in catering. I've, you know, been able to cook at the James Beard House with the restaurant back home in Buffalo, New York. And I've also was able before the pandemic for almost 2 years to manage for a restaurant group. I was managing kitchens out of Houston, and then I got moved to Chicago as well. And basically my responsibilities were everything that you would expect to run the back of house. I was responsible for scheduling, you know, ordering product, keeping, you know, just managing food costs, managing labor costs, and just learning it all. I did have support, but it was my title and my job title. I was working extremely long hours, like 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Most weeks were 80 hours. And, you know, as I got more in and I got more support, it was less, but it was still like long hours. It wasn't like too much less. And yeah, I got into food because I loved cooking. I really don't know what else I'm good at besides talking or creating food. And I'm not saying I'm the best chef out there. I know that I'm not. I'm not saying I'm the best food creator out there. I know that I'm not either. But they're both things that I love to do. And they're both passions I have, creating content around food, eating food, and obviously creating food. So I joined the industry because of that. And I knew how tough the industry was. It had been told to me by mentors. And, you know, it's this base thing that, you know, you won't have a life if you join food. That's like kind of what I was told when I started. And I didn't really think too much about that. And I don't think anyone really does when they start in the industry. And I was always told, you have to be really passionate because you're not going to make a lot of money. And I didn't really care about that at the time. You know, finances weren't a huge thing. Yeah, I had a car payment to make, and in college I had to work a lot, but I always was like, well, if I follow my passion, money will come, right? That's what you're always told. And as I started to, I worked in restaurants. I went to the Culinary Institute of America. And as I started to get toward my graduation, I started to realize or think to myself, all right, so I need to find a job and I need to make enough money to pay off my car and, you know, general expenses, living expenses, rent, and also my student loan payments. And I started looking at restaurants. I wanted to be a Michelin star chef. So I started working at restaurants, looking at restaurants in Chicago, New York, you know, the general Northeast or Midwest food scene, because that's kind of what was closest to me. And when I looked into all this, I quickly realized that I was not going to be able to afford this lifestyle. And that is kind of, that's kind of where things took a turn. Just to give you some statistics, this is the 2020 median pay, the average annual pay median pay for a line cook from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They say that in 2020, the median pay for a line cook was $27,250, equaling to about $13.10 an hour. Now, I don't know if, you know, that's obviously in 2020. I don't know where 2021 will be, but I did some other research looking at median pay. Some had it higher up to almost, like around $30,000, but average was the general range was between $27,000 and $30,000. Indeed has the average hourly rate for $13.81. Pay scale has it for $12.49. Glassdoor has the average line cook salary for $27,923. My apologies on that. And yeah, I mean, obviously that's not a lot of money. And for me, like I did the math and I just simply couldn't afford going to work in a major city to work at a Michelin starred restaurant. I literally could not afford it with car, phone, student loan payment, the rent I would have had to pay. And I know people make it work and I know people just work in these restaurants to support their families. But for me, like, the pay, like I couldn't afford it. And I don't come from a family that like is able to just like give me money either. So for me, it was very, it was a very tough decision. So post-graduation, I went back home and I worked at a restaurant and I just started to look for options that would maybe just allow me to be paid more. And I ended up being able to go into a management and training program, which then let me become a restaurant manager, like I said before. And I was able to earn a very solid wage and be able to learn how to run a restaurant and operate everything. And that's really what I wanted. I remember working in Buffalo on the line, and I've told this story before, and I just like, I had closed down my station. I had written the prep list for the next day. And I really wanted to, I just felt like I wasn't enough. I was like, well, this is cool, but like, I'm not engaged enough. Like I wanted to like see how scheduling was done. I wanted to see how, you know, creating the menu was done. I wanted to see how the finances of the restaurant were done. And I slowly realized that I had not, besides school, I had never actually like put myself in a position to learn any of that. So I went ahead and did that. And that's kind of what kind of got me away from the Michelin star path that I had been on, or the one that I wanted to pursue. So as I was managing restaurants, I started to get this feeling of impending doom. I will tell you all that I had so much anxiety during the 1.5 years. I mean, friends can tell you. I mean, I had really like lacked on caring about my relationships. I had really lacked on caring about self-care. I lost a ton of weight during this time. But it was like, yes, there was effort put in, but then after a while, like I just like, probably weight loss was the only solid thing out of this. this year period of trying to lose weight, and then like restaurants helping me accelerate that. But like, I was working in New York City and, you know, walking every day, so that helped a ton. But like I said, relationships were very, like, I had some family members I didn't talk to for months. You know, relationships with just significant other, just very hard to keep going when you're working 80 hours a week and it's long distance. Plus, I was trying to do the podcast. I started Line Cook Thoughts in December of 2019. And I started this job in January of 2018, started the new job in January of 2019. So I was working these like extremely long weeks, 60 to 80 hours, depending on the week. And I just was tired. I was burnt out. And then after that, I would come home and I would create content for this brand. I would, you know, do a weekly podcast, or I'd write, or I'd put out Instagram or Twitter or Facebook content. And like, it just never stopped. And I didn't have any time for myself, the little time I had to create for Line Cook Thoughts. And I remember looking at people successful in restaurants that I had known, and they were probably like 30s, 40s. And I did, like, they had families and whatnot. And I just noticed that they were still working 12-hour days. And while maybe they had been successful financially, or maybe they had been successful in the positions they attained, they had no work-life balance. Most of them were working 5 to 6 days a week still. And they were saying how they missed seeing their kids, or how they missed the relationships they could have. And like, they regret not taking vacations and seeing all these things. And I would see this, and it really worried me. I was like, okay, this is scaring me. I want to work hard, and I am a very hard worker, but I don't know if I want to work my life away. And that's, you know, I was told that in the beginning of my career. So like, I should have known this. But so all that to say is that I saw this cycle, or I saw this schedule, and I saw how demanding it was. And honestly, like, my anxiety was at an all-time high right before the pandemic, and even going into the pandemic. I would worry about such small things. I would not be able to enjoy time off. I would struggle with sometimes just getting out of bed sometimes, because on my days off, I was tired, and also just like so anxious about things at work, or about just life in general. If anyone has overworked themselves in restaurants, you know how it feels. You just have your days off where you're like, you're anxious and you really don't want to move. And like, you could go start something, but it's like, what's the point sometimes, right? And that's where I was at. And the pandemic really brought an end to my career in restaurants so far, because I ended up making the decision to move back home. And it was tough, but it was something that I decided was best for me due to conditions at work. And so I was out of restaurants, and I didn't collect unemployment. I didn't work for 7 months because I had chosen to leave. And it was an interesting time. And I had a lot of time to think about my future in restaurants, or my future in food. You know, someone doing this podcast, I was always preaching about, you know, we need to take care of ourselves, and we need to create more for ourselves, and just see what else is out there in the industry. Yet I was only taking that advice about 50% myself. I was still working like crazy. I was still having a difficult time putting what I wanted in my life into action. And I was very anxious. Like, I can't describe to you how else I felt. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie. It was fun to work in restaurants and live in like Chicago and New York and get to do all these cool things. But anxiety prevailed all the time. And it's only like recently, like, I'm not lying to you, it's only like the last few months where I've been able to kind of decompress from that mode. And even now, when I work in different fields, I still get a workplace anxiety that has no bearing on what is actually going on, just from how it was that, like, that past year. So all this to say is that when I hit the pandemic, when I got to go home, I realized that there's so much I'm interested in food, whether it's e-commerce, whether it's mass food production, whether it's food social media, whether it's consumer, like, just seeing what consumers enjoy eating. Like, I'm so interested in why people buy stuff at grocery stores and why they buy stuff online. And I realized that, like, I had tangible skills that could put me into these different industries. And I wrote a piece for Plate way back in the beginning of the pandemic saying that you're not a sellout if you decide to leave restaurants. And for me, this is so true, because I felt like all the time when I was contemplating looking at other things in restaurants, people would look down on it. They'd be like, oh, like, that's selling out, or you're going corporate, or you're leaving your passion behind. It was almost as if like it was a job shaming thing if you left restaurants. And you know what? I mean, I just a certain point, I just like didn't care. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do what feels best for me. And I can tell you right now, I'm working in a better job that has a great schedule, and I feel healthy. I run, I go to the gym, I take out my dog on days off to go hiking. I see friends, I get to work on this. I have time to actually breathe and work on stuff. And yeah, so that's why I left restaurants. I don't know if I'll ever return to restaurants. I'm not going to say no, because you'll never know. There's still part of me that would love to help operate a restaurant business, but the anxiety and the stress and just the general idea of you cannot have a life outside of this. That's literally what I was told. You cannot have a life outside of this when you're especially managing a restaurant. And so, I mean, I just kind of saw that as messed up. I know a lot of people agree. I know a lot of people will be like, well, you're being weak and shut up or whatever. I get it. I mean, I run a social media site. I get all the different reactions. But the reality is for me, it was so not what I had seen myself doing with my life in terms of food. And I always thought I would be able to will into my life a work-life balance while working in restaurants. And I wasn't able to do it. And it stressed me out. And it got me to the point where I just didn't find it. I didn't enjoy it anymore. I was looking forward to my one day off a week more than the 6 days I was at work because of how stressful and how anxiety inducing it was. And so that's why I left. And with the pandemic, it showed me that life is short and nothing is obviously guaranteed. And I found such peace in being someone who advocates for people to look at the industry as a whole. There's so much out there in the food industry that we don't realize we'd be good at. We don't realize we can go into. This isn't to say you should not work in restaurants. I think everyone in food at a certain point in their career should work in restaurants. But I think it's harmful to think that restaurants are the only thing you can work in if you're in the food industry. Our industry is so vast. There's so many different things. There's so many different options. There's literally millions of jobs in the food industry. And while probably data shows that there's over 1 million restaurant jobs in the U.S., but there's more than that in total in the restaurant industry. And I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't look at other avenues on how to create a career in food. You know, I've said it 1 million times, your career is in food, not cooking. And so that's why I left the restaurant industry. I didn't like the idea that that you couldn't have a life. I didn't like the anxiety that I felt, and honestly, just the culture of just, you need to have this destructive lifestyle because that's what everyone else does. And, for me, it's just maybe that was fine for some before, and maybe it was fine to go after the status and the accolades before, but now it's people are getting sick and people don't have enough money to put food on the table. And, so that I'm just saying this, I'm just sharing the story not to be like, oh, I did this and you should do it too. I don't like that. Everyone should do what they believe is best for themselves. I'm simply saying that taking a step back and looking at what the industry offered as a whole and trying out different things that I'm actually pretty good at in the industry allowed me to find a career and a lifestyle balance that allows me to function and be happy and be able to work on meaningful content and still be able to be involved with food. So, like I said, everyone has their own path. They have their own wants and needs and their own situations. There's some privilege in what I was able to do. And now everyone might be in this situation to leave a restaurant job that they hate right now, or vice versa. Not everyone might not be able to go into restaurants because they can't afford to go into restaurants. So everyone's in different spots, but I'm merely saying that don't be closed-minded to everything in the food industry. And I'm also just sharing my experience to kind of give a reason or a thought as to why I write articles or why I promote Line Cook Thoughts so much. This brand is for everyone working in the food industry. Yes, it is Line Cook Thoughts. I created the brand when I was a line cook. I know the name is Line Cook Thoughts, but for me, it means so much more. It means everyone who works in the food industry that's not recognized, that works tirelessly, that might work only 40 hours a week, but does really meaningful work to get, to add value to our food system. And so that's what this brand is for. And so that's why I'm sharing this. And going into this next portion, I wanted to share what cooks and people that work in restaurants shared with me this last week. But I just wanted to say this again. This isn't about not working at restaurants. I think everyone at some point in their career should work at restaurants. But there are major issues right now that people are going through that I'm not seeing covered as great as maybe the cook shortage is. Like, there's a huge coverage on the shortage of cooks. There's not a huge coverage, in my opinion, on why there's a shortage of cooks beyond the idea of unemployment benefits or whatever else is said. Like, but there's other issues that are going on. So that's what this next portion is. Thank you for letting me share my story on why I left restaurants. And if you resonate in some way, if that was something that you kind of felt as well, please let me know. I miss restaurants every day, I'm not going to lie. I get to work with food every day, so it's not like I miss food, but there's something special about working with a team, working on the line with someone, with a bunch of people that you're close with. I'll shout out, you know, the crew at Oliver's in Buffalo, New York. They were one of my favorite restaurants. It was probably one of my favorite jobs to work at. Just the bond I had with them, the way they took me under their wing, I learned so much. And it's just a testament that, you know, this industry isn't just all bad restaurant people. Or owners, or whatever you want to say. I saw a lot of comments saying that restaurant owners or chefs don't care about workers. That's so far from the truth. I've been blessed with amazing mentors. I've done podcasts about it. There's amazing people in this industry that care and want to change it and care about you as a person and want you to succeed. And all of my mentors, I've been very lucky, have been very supportive of me moving on from restaurants. The restaurant industry is filled with amazing people that care so much about the people that work inside this industry. They're the chefs, the leaders of the front of house. People do care, but of course there are also going to be really shitty people. So it's a balance. It's just like everything else in life. But I don't think any way of saying, oh, well, all restaurant owners are bad or all chefs are bad. That's not a fair way to look at it. And for me, it's not a realistic way or a productive way, because I've met some of the most incredible people and leaders in food. So just wanted to leave you with that. And let's get into the next portion of the episode. So as I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, I wrote an article for Plate magazine that performed really well. Just wanted to say a thank you to Plate, the editing team there. They really have believed in me and given me a platform to write. And I shared this blog post, this article on my Instagram, and it was my most successful post in terms of performance of all time for the Line Cook Thoughts brand. It's just a picture of the headline. It says, restaurants must offer work-life balance if they want to keep employees. The post got over 2,300 likes, over 140 comments. The list goes on. It had 915 shares just across Instagram. There's shares on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, 280 saves. And it just a tremendous amount of, for me, a tremendous amount of exposure. I don't see exposure too much like that. And so first off, I want to say thank you all for reading my writing and for, you know, sharing that article. And the reason I shared it, like I said before, is because in the coverage of the cook shortage, I feel like no one's actually talking to cooks to share why there's a shortage. So like, I feel like there's just been an assumption that, oh, it's just unemployment or, oh, it's just COVID. And so I wanted to, you know, like I said, share how cooks are feeling. And I wrote the article and I knew it was an important topic, but I didn't realize how much emotion it would bring out from people who agreed with it. And I got a lot of great responses and just a lot of personal messages. And so I'm not going to read anything that was sent to me personally, but there's public comments on the Instagram and just, you know, what other people said I could read or said I could share. I'm not going to name anyone, but these are some reasons cooks have left the industry or just leaving in general. And obviously the biggest one is, lifestyle. So lack of a fair wage, a lot of people not having solid health insurance, or benefits plan, or, you know, just all of the financial security stuff, lack of work-life balance, a lot of people feeling like there's a lack of established career paths for themselves, like they don't know where they're going to see themselves in 10 years or how they're supposed to build their career or build financial security. A lot of people cite shame for wanting time off, the feeling that you're going to lose your job or you're going to be looked down upon if you ask for a vacation, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. Low pay, fatigue. I mean, low pay comes up a ton. As we said before, the median pay, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics in 2020, the median pay was $27,250 for a line cook. Some stories, people saying that they're put on these, literally there are some stories where people were saying, there's like multiple things where they were put on salary at a low salary, but yet, and worked a ton so that people could avoid paying overtime, like stuff like that, like just shady business practices, taking advantage of people. I mean, it's, like I said, it's not all the restaurant industry, but and all industries have issues like this. But those are some reasons that cooks have cited for leaving. The hustle culture, a lot of people that were in management positions say they're leaving managing positions because of the cook shortage, like I shared in the beginning of the episode. A lot of managers are doing the tasks of they're doing tasks that they're supposed to be managing because there's no one in businesses to do those tasks. So those are just some of the major issues. A lot of people just feel stuck. So, I mean, those are some of the major issues. I'll share some specific examples. Some person sharing that if people don't show up or they show up late, you often have to stay to, a lot of people often have to stay to work their shift or it's expected that they stay. A lot of people are saying that they, you know, we need to treat kitchen staff more than just a paycheck. Offering two consecutive days off, 8 to 10 hour shifts at most, and a work-life balance. A lot of people saying low wages for people, yet we expect a lot of people in the food industry to go above and beyond. Others saying that literally just having to leave to care for a child or care for a family, being overworked and mentally and physically, and not being able to put food on the table for their family. Other people saying where stability and balance and things like insurance and ability to go on vacation were vilified and they just weren't able to live the life they thought. A lot of people sharing a lot worse. Some saying that, you know, just going into work, you know, feeling undervalued, being overworked. Not only for, like, you know, a lot of it is from like the guests too. A lot of people feel like people in society don't understand what it means to be in restaurants. A lot of people, I mean, I've shared that a ton on the page, but, and as we all know, people in society truly do not know what it takes in any form of the food industry to be able to, you know, what it takes to put food on a table or put food out to the guest. And a lot of people saying they wanted to start their own business. And then lastly, just the mental health issues and illnesses that plague the industry. It's very challenging. We'll go into this a little bit, but, you know, a lot of my audience, I feel a good amount of my audience went to culinary school and, you know, student loan debt. For going to culinary school, yes, there are federal loans you can receive, but there's also private loans. And like for me, for example, private loans weren't paused during the pandemic. At least mine weren't. And a lot of people have these private culinary loans, and they have trouble meeting minimum payments. So, for example, I was looking into it. If you have a 2-year degree, if you graduate culinary school and you were going into the industry, the average or the median pay is less than $30,000 a year. For a post 2-year degree. And a lot of people are leaving the school, like culinary school, with that amount in debt or even more. I mean, I know a lot of people who have left culinary schools across the country leaving with more debt. And of course, that's something that is a problem. And people can't afford to make minimum payments. And then let's look if you're cooking and you have a child, the USDA says that the average amount you're going to spend to take care of a child is $12,980 a year. And if you're making $27,000 a year, that's very, I mean, that's, I couldn't imagine. I truly could not imagine. And it's sad. It's a sad predicament for people who are in that position. And we look into mental health. A study in 2015 by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administration ranks the food industry third highest for alcohol, heavy alcohol related consumption, heavy alcohol consumption due to poor working conditions. And then, you know, looking even further, just looking into some of the statistics as to, you know, showing that it's not just unemployment, but there's a lot more. There's a great Eater article by Carolyn Alberger. She writes the article, "Restaurants Are Finally Prioritizing Workers' Mental Health." In this article, she cites that 80% of employees leave the industry after 2 years. And she also cites a study by Unilever Solutions where 74% of chefs, they found 74% of chefs were sleep deprived to the point of exhaustion, and 63% were suffering depression. Also, just so we're all clear, in March 2020, the food service workers were 60% of the job loss claims in March of 2020. As we all know, the restaurant industry was completely affected by that. A survey done in 2017, a Mind and Workplace survey, showed that 43% of workers in the food industry engage in unhealthy activities to cope with work. It shows food service workers have one of the, if not the highest rate of heavy drinking across any occupation. 38% are afraid of going on vacation for fear of job loss, and 49% see skillful employees overlooked when they're at work, which means basically saying like that undervalued portion that many cite. Going to 2021 for this Mind the Workplace report, they had done things a little differently, but they had five measures in terms of scores that industries could get. And these five were a score for overall health, a score for financial health, a score for burnout, a score for supervisor support, and a score for mental health. And food and beverage ranked top three worst in all of these categories of health, financial health, burnout, supervisor support, mental health, and overall health. So that being said, those are other, besides unemployment and besides COVID, those are issues that were plaguing the industry before the pandemic and plaguing the industry to this day. And it's something that we, like, it's just not something that can be overlooked right now. I don't think it is anyway. You know, someone shared on the Instagram, and I thought it was really important. You know, going before the pandemic, it was almost like flexing to say that you worked 80 hours a week. I'll say I was a part of this where I, you know, I had some sort of pride in being able to work these extra long hours. But now, you know, going into the pandemic and seeing how much my life has changed and how much I let go by the wayside, like, that is not a flex. And, you know, I see this a lot about people working hard and, you know, the arguments against, I guess, what I'm saying. You know, we don't want an industry of lazy workers. And food service is tough. And I just want to address a couple of those things. Like, I feel like anything you push for in life, you're going to work more than 40 hours a week. So, yes, that is true, right? But also, like, a lot of industries where you could be successful only do work 40 to 45 hours a week. And if someone wants that, they should be able to find that in their industry they're in. And it doesn't, like, it, if you're pushing for something, it doesn't mean that you can't have a good work-life balance as well. You know, this idea that we got to work so hard that nothing else matters besides the work we're doing, that, I mean, that's kind of an American trait, I feel like, at least. And while it does take a lot of hard work, you can get a lot done within those 45 hours. And it's easy to just say it's going to take, it just takes more than that when you're working in the food industry. It takes more than that because we're not staffed properly and we're not doing things properly, in my opinion. And like I said, I don't have the answers to everything, but it's a reason why people are leaving. So it's just not a problem we can just brush over. There's also the argument, well, you know, the food industry inherently offers you different hours. You have to work holidays, you have to work nights, you have to work crazy hours. That's fair, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be overworked. It just means your schedule is different. There are tons of industries. You know, look at truck driving. Truck drivers work 40, 50. I mean, so I know sometimes they work longer hours, but they work 40 to 50 hours a week, but they work at most, a lot of them work overnight shifts. Like, they work different hours. Yes, it's not the 9 to 5, but they still have, some still have schedules. And obviously every industry is prone to overworking, but the culture in restaurants I have found to be, or in food that I found to be prevalent, is that you need to work so much that like nothing else in your life matters. And a lot of people obviously feel this way, as you can tell by at least what I've shared and what I've, you know, experienced and anecdotally what I've seen. So these issues of of pay, this issue, the issues of, you know, looking at mental health awareness, and just the issues of substance abuse, and addiction to harmful activities. I mean, the list goes on. And I think a lot of people were just barely hanging on when before the pandemic. And I think the pandemic really pushed a lot of people to come to terms with that they can't, they just simply can't function this lifestyle anymore. And these are all issues that have been going on far before the pandemic. So, I see a lot of people sharing on Instagram, kind of making the argument, well, we're in a pandemic, so things are expected to be different. So we just need to work through it. But the fact is that these issues were going on way before the pandemic started. And these are just financial, mental health, and workplace issues. This isn't to look at racism, sexism, anti-LGBTQ, rhetoric inside kitchens. Like, this is all still, like, these are, like, those are all still issues that we have as well. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that when we cover why cooks are leaving, and when we cover and when we look back on 2020 and the pandemic and COVID, and we see that all these cooks left the industry, we can't it can't just be chalked up to, oh, well, it was COVID, or, oh, it was, you know, unemployment was too high, so they don't want to go back to work. You know, it angers me. It really angers me when people are saying cooks are lazy and they don't want to work. Cooks are some of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life. Our whole industry is built around the fact that you work hard and you sacrifice to a certain extent your outside life to work. So 60% of cooks were laid off in March of 2020. And then throughout the pandemic, thousands and thousands of cooks were laid off during the pandemic. And they had to find other things to do. And yes, some are on unemployment, but I've seen many like start their own business or go find other jobs in the food industry, like I had to do. And to just say, oh, well, people are just lazy and don't want to work is such a small-minded way of looking at this issue. And it negates the fact that there are actual things that we can improve on. And I'm not, like I said before, restaurants are not bad. And working in restaurants does not necessarily mean you're going to suffer. But many have had issues with it. And there have been issues that we've ignored. And we're seeing a lot of people come to terms with that and move on out of restaurants and out of the food industry entirely. And I like to say that a lot of people coming out of restaurants find other jobs in food, but a lot of people just have left food entirely. Like, I couldn't find really great data. And if someone could point me in the right direction, that would be great. But I would love to see kind of the amount of people who found other careers in food and the other people who just left food altogether. I know so many people that have just left food altogether. And that's kind of, those are the issues we're facing. Mental health, a huge thing. Like, we've known this. We've known this for a while. Substance abuse, obviously a huge issue. But the work-life balancing is something that is just so, I feel it's just such a huge problem that we always brush off because we just have accepted that the food industry is a place where you can't have a work-life balance. And what kind of thing, like, what kind of industry is that, you know? And I know it's easy for me to say, and I know there's going to be people that say, oh, it's easy for you to say you don't own a restaurant, you don't work in restaurants anymore. But I did work in restaurants, and I did manage in a restaurant. And when I did that, my anxiety was at my all-time high. And not only that, I've seen friends who've worked as cooks or worked as managing in restaurants who've just completely, like, suffered from, you know, issues of either substance abuse or mental health, or I've seen people I look up to in the industry break down and just not be able to manage in certain points. We've seen great people in the industry like Bourdain take their own lives because they can't manage. And so there's all these issues that we still have to like address and improve on. And I truly believe that we can improve on them, but we need to be honest and we need to be aware that the issues are still there and that they all lead to this cook shortage that's going on. And so that's why I wanted to make this episode. That's why I wrote the article. And that's why I create content with Line Cook Thoughts. I care about everyone in the restaurant industry and I care about everyone in the food industry. I love food and I put my heart and soul into this brand for 2.5 years now. And it's always been about creating content that's positive and that hopefully guides the industry in a good and positive direction, because the greatest people I've met are in food. And to see people suffer and to see people like mentally not be able to care for themselves anymore, or financially not be able to support their family, so they have to move out of the industry, and to just see that as an industry, sometimes we just accept certain things. It's just, I don't find that acceptable. And I want to be someone who is there for others when they need to talk about issues of mental health or substance abuse or job insecurity. I want this to be a platform that addresses all those things. And I want this to be a platform that really highlights everyone in the food world, whether you work in food production, R&D, media. Like, these issues of work-life balance and low pay do go into every sector of the industry, and they do affect everyone in a certain degree, and not just in restaurants. But right now, restaurant workers I feel like in COVID, in the beginning of COVID, they weren't understood, and now they're not understood. And it's just tiring sometimes to see it. Even though I'm out of restaurants, it's still tiring to see it, because a lot of people I care about are still in restaurants, and they're not being given the light of day. Their issues aren't being given the light of day. And I know we're in strange times, and I know there's business owners just struggling to stay alive. And this isn't, like I said a million times, this isn't about that. This is just merely to give the perspective that I've seen, that people have shared with me, of what people in food are going through right now that are actually working on the front lines. And so I hope, you know, sharing these issues, getting this out on a podcast, giving you some numbers that I looked up. You know, there's a lot more information, and there's probably a lot of better people that have given you actual data on this, but this is what I found. And, you know, when I heard this cook shortage and when I saw the coverage, it really just upset me and disappointed me that we're once again not talking to the people in the food industry, because there's two sides of the story, and their story needs to be shared. And yes, I'm passionate about this. Yes, this fires me up. Yes, this makes me very just like, I don't know. Why is it so hard to listen to people sometimes? I feel like a lot of people aren't heard. And you know, take this what you will, but the fact that a post that says restaurant workers need more work-life balance is my most successful content in 2.5 years of doing this, and a brand creating content for people in the food world, for me, it just proves that now more than ever, we need to be talking about it, because we can't go into a new normal in the food industry without addressing issues such as this. I don't know all the answers. It's going to take a long time, I feel like, to get everything ironed out. But people are leaving not just because of unemployment, not just because of COVID, but because of financial insecurity, work-life balance, mental health issues, and just not feeling like they're heard or listened to or appreciated. I don't know how else to say it. Restaurants are an amazing place. The food industry is an amazing place. I don't want to be in any other industry. But there are issues that many go through, and I've suffered from mental health issues, like the anxiety of it all, but there are other issues that I have not had to face. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't be paying attention to them or sharing content around them, because they're important. So those are just some issues of what's going on in food. I hope, you know, this helps in some way, just to get the word out. And yeah, I hope if anyone ever goes through anything like this and needs to just talk, I'm not someone who's just going to like put this out on the internet. Like, if you just need to talk, send me a message, send me a DM on MindCookThoughts at Instagram, and just let me know how everything's going. This should be a conversation. It should be an open thing. And if you disagree with me, I'd love to hear your stance too. Like, if you truly think that people are lazy in the industry and that's why they're not going back, and that you just need to toughen up and be better in the industry, and that this is what restaurants are, I'm open to hearing your viewpoint too. I listen to it all. I get it all the time online. It's just my personal opinion. And from what I've seen, a lot of people are feeling this way too, that the food industry needs to do a better job of supporting work-life balance, better pay, and just a better understanding of mental health issues. So thank you all so much for the, you know, who have shared and who have been open and honest about this. And I just hope for a better future in food. So I didn't want to leave this episode on a totally, I guess, there is some light at the end of the tunnel, or just some hope for me in general, some things that I'm hopeful about in food. So this is as of April 9th, 2021. Just the growth of cooks in the industry is expected to grow 10% from 2019 to 2021. 29. So in the 10 year, that 10 year period, even like post COVID, according to these numbers, restaurants employ over 1 million people in the United States. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of opportunities out there. And there are a lot of opportunities right now to get into food and to get into the industry and to make a career out of doing what you love if you enjoy being with food. But a big thing I just want to stress is that, you know, there's so many opportunities in general in the industry right now. And I encourage everyone to, this is what I did to find my job search. I went online, I looked up things that interest me, food media, consumer interests, obviously working with food, creating menu ideas, creating menu concepts, all that stuff. And I was able to find different sectors of the industry that really appealed to me. And if you're looking right now for work-life balance, there are a lot of great restaurants that are there are restaurants that are giving work-life balance. I've talked to people on Instagram who are chef owners who are offering their cooks pay. They're offering their cooks benefits. They're offering their cooks 401k. Like, we didn't get into the lack of benefits or the lack of retirement savings, but those are also issues that a lot of people in the food industry are just not set up to live successfully, like, later on in their career. And so there are many restaurant owners who have been doing it before the pandemic who are doing it now. So there are a lot of great restaurant people to work for in the industry that are offering all of these things. And yes, restaurant work is going to be tough. And this isn't a podcast to say it shouldn't be tough. The inherent job of cooking or producing any type of food is always tough. It's more so like scheduling and work-life balance we've been talking about. But there's a lot of great leaders out there in restaurants. And there's a lot of great leaders in fine dining. There's a lot of great leaders in restaurant groups. There's a lot of great leaders in corporate dining. There's a lot of great opportunities. There are opportunities in R&D. There are opportunities in food media. There are opportunities in food prep and production. There's so many different things out there. I think what a lot of people get caught on is they'll get into a position in restaurants where they think that because it's like this, or maybe their last few jobs have been like this, this is all it's going to be like. And so what's the point of even looking? I've been very blessed to have had amazing mentors. I've worked with amazing people, and I've been very blessed and honored to work with people that have treated me fairly and with respect. There are amazing people out there in food, especially in restaurants. And there are a lot of restaurant groups that offer, or just restaurants in general, that offer their employees some sort of retirement savings and healthcare. A lot don't, but some do. And I'm not saying that everyone can go work in those places. What I'm simply saying is, expand your view of what you're capable of. Because the optimism I have is that there are people in this industry who are very talented, that are working the line, that are working, you know, for a restaurant group or a restaurant, that could be a great leader in that restaurant group that helps bring forth those, you know, the ability to have a 401k or a benefits package. There are people who can go on into R&D and be a great asset to, you know, research and developing new menu items. There could be someone who's great at food media. There's so much talent, I feel like, in line cooks that are just so, that just goes unused. I read a comment and it really like hit home for me. You know, being a line cook is skilled labor. And this person was saying that the minimum pay should be $20 an hour. Obviously that's like that. This is overseas. So this is going to be different for the US, but he feels like in his country, it should be $20 an hour. But he was saying how like line cooks have the ability to go and achieve different positions within the food industry because of how skilled you need to be. You know, you work with food, yes, but you work, obviously your work ethic is there. Your ability to have a diversity of ingredients, have a diverse knowledge in recipes and food ingredients, being able to write prep lists, that's organization, sanitation, like the list goes on. And if you really look at all of the different aspects of a cook, you have a lot of tangible skills that you can bring into other parts of the industry if needed. And so I just want everyone to leave this episode acknowledging that, yes, there are issues we face in the industry, but as a line cook or as someone in the food industry, you are skilled labor and you do have tangible assets in your career that you could move and put into place to find other positions in food. And you have value. And I feel like a lot of times people just in food feel undervalued, and that might be poor leadership or just might be like guest perception or however it might be, but you have value and you shouldn't feel like you don't have value. Like, I know a lot of people will be like, well, I'm in food because I'm not really good at anything else. I know I said that at the beginning of the episode, but I'm good at a lot of things that pertain to food that allowed me to have different positions elsewhere in the industry. You know, I think moving forward, there's a couple of changes. Obviously, the work-life balance is something we need to figure out. We can say restaurants are different, but people are leaving and citing work-life balance is the biggest thing. Burnout, mental health issues. So work-life balance, priority. Figuring out how to offer just pay structure, benefits, 401k, health insurance, a huge thing right now for people during a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic. Figuring out how to have a established career set up for people who enter the industry. And obviously, we have to work on the issues of racism and sexism and all the other social issues that come from that old school kitchen culture that can be very toxic at times. And then also, it's on the guests too. Like, food prices in restaurants should probably be higher if we're going to pay people better. Like, yes, there is some accountability on the restaurant owner to have a tight budget and to have tight costs. But if the general public wants to eat out, but we also need to treat staff fairly, like, prices will need to go up too. Like, it's not just all on restaurant owners to fix this. It's on guests being willing to be open to this. And lastly, it's on workers too to realize the value they have. And if they need to go elsewhere, they need to go elsewhere. And I understand that that might not be the opportunity for every single person. But to just say that you have no value is wrong, because everyone in the kitchen has value. Everyone working has value. And so I'll leave this episode saying this. I've addressed the issues. I've shared my viewpoints. I've shared why I've written this. I've shared that the restaurant industry is a beautiful place that I was so happy to be proud of. Happy to be a part of, proud to be in. But I also, for me personally, I just wanted to see what else the food industry had to offer. And I realized that working in restaurants wasn't the best fit for me. As much as I loved it, it was literally, for almost a decade, it was like the thing I loved the most. It was the most important thing to me. And I left because I knew, for me personally, it wasn't aligning with my goals for myself professionally or work-life balance-wise, and I wanted to see something different. And I'm just a genuinely curious person, and I like to see different things in life. And I feel like there's a lot of people in food who feel like that, and I hope that this episode has helped in some way. And I hope that the issues laid out in this episode help people who are maybe looking for reasons as to why cooks are leaving. This is what cooks are sharing. I've shared what cooks are saying. I've shared the data behind how that can lead to these people leaving the industry. And I just hope that we continue to push for an industry that is more open about these issues and open about changing these issues. And it all starts with communication and talking about it. So thank you all so much for listening to this episode. And I just really hope you all are doing well. And I hope you all just take account to the value that you have in your respective positions and you do what's best for you. Once again, thank you all for listening to this episode. If you'd like to see more content like this, go listen to another episode on your podcast platform. If you're on Apple, please leave a review. Check out linecookthoughts.com for the official Line Cook Nation blog. And as always, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Line Cook Thoughts. Thank you all so much. This is a little bit different of an episode. I don't know if I've ever done an episode so in-depth into like the issues of the food industry, but I just wanted to say leave this idea out there. I love food. I love restaurants. I love the time I spent. Honestly, even though everything I went through, I said was like everything I went through, it made me who I am, and I wouldn't change a thing of the past, but I do think that there do need to be changes for the future. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm open to seeing all sides of it, and I'm open to having discussions on all the aspects of what it takes. And I'm sure there's viewpoints that I don't see and that I don't know, and I'm open to hearing those as well. So thank you all so much once again, and I'll see you in the next episode.